time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me. Let's see what we can do in 30 minutes here today. You're going to hear a sermon I preach. This one's going back a couple years now, but it's one of my all-time favorite messages. I've preached it many times. Each time it changes, because God is like a multifaceted jewel, and that is his goodness, his splendor. It's just every time you go through something, it changes. This sermon's called The Winning Mindset, and it goes all the way back to Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus commends a man named Antipas, who he says was his faithful martyr. So as history has it, Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. And I ask myself, and I wonder, what did this guy have that we don't have, if we don't have it? What made him walk into a bronze kettle? What gave him the chutzpah, the nerve, the pizzazz? What gave him the spiritual fortitude? That's the phrase I'm looking for. What gave Antipas the spiritual fortitude to walk alive, to walk into a bronze kettle, to see his doom? What did he have? What did he possess to give him the strength to do that? That is what I want to look at here today. That'll be our message here today. It's a long one, 45 minutes, so it will conclude in tomorrow's broadcast. So part one now. Again, for more info on this ministry, our app is out now, so I encourage you, search for WGOD Radio Broadcast. You'll find it in the App Store. You'll find it in the Google Play Store. There's an option on there now to listen live if you're not near the radio. That'll kick on at 5:30 in the afternoon. There's a donate link on there as well. If you're so led to do that, that would be greatly appreciated. It does cost me to be on the radio. Even though I'm the station manager here, I still pay like everyone else to be on the radio. And I certainly would appreciate your support if you're able to make a contribution and help this ministry. Okay, let's get into the word now. This is part one of this message, The Winning Mindset. This handout's got a lot on it, as you can see. I've got another handout that's got a lot more on it, but it's got my chicken scroll on it. It's a subject I care a lot about and have done a lot of study in. That's why you'll see there's more scripture references in this one than probably any sermon I've ever preached. And I think it's the perfect time for this because we've been looking at persecution a lot lately as we're going through the book of Revelation. We looked at Polycarp in the persecuted church in Revelation chapter 2. Also in Revelation chapter 2, we looked at someone named Antipas, whose Greek word anti sometimes means against. Pas means everything or everyone. He's against everyone. And that ultimately was why Jesus called him his faithful martyr. Because when you stand up against evil, this is what happens to you. And what happened to Polycarp, what happened to Antipas, as history has it, is he was burned alive in a bronze kettle. So looking at first Polycarp and now Antipas, we're starting to see a pattern here. And that is God's people being killed and persecuted and martyred. So this is a perfect time now to take 1 week and look at this, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, where we left off last week. The Lord Jesus says, I know your works, and I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Remember last week we looked at, there was a great big giant serpent's head in this town. The demon's name was Asclepius, and everyone there except the Christians worshipped it. We think that's why Jesus said where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name
and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you. Then he says it again, where Satan dwells. You'll notice on the handout I wrote a little bit of that. Interestingly, the word martyr and witness is the same Greek word. And it's only used twice in the Bible, here and in Acts chapter 22, verse 20. So I want to talk to you today about this faithful brother named Antipas. Again, as I said, Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. So my question is, how did he do it? How can a person have the fortitude to persevere under such a trial as this? By the way, could you do it? Could you walk into a scorching hot kettle whistling, what, "Fly Me to the Moon"? Or how about, "Ron, It Is Well With My Soul"? We talked about that last couple days. Read the history of the man that wrote that. Would you be able to walk into a bronze kettle singing "It Is Well With My Soul"? Do you hate your life that much, like Jesus commanded you to? Where is that in the Bible? That's on the handout too as well. You'll see it there, John 12:25. He that loves his life will lose it. He that hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What gave this man the fortitude to stand tall under this fierce trial? As we examine that question this morning, I want to go through the Bible and look at others, as you turn to Daniel chapter 3, please. I want to look at others who faced a similar trial. Daniel chapter 3. Now, Daniel's three friends were forced to bow down and worship the image. And they refused to, and word got out. By the way, what a perfect foretaste for how it's going to be at the end of the age. Even down to the image. 2,500 years ago, followers of Jehovah God were forced to bow down and worship the image. Okay, now these three refused to bow down. We're in Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, with psaltery, in symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you from my hands?" Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we've got no need to answer you." I love what the King James has here. The King James says, "We're not careful to answer you." I love that. No eggshells for us. No measuring our words carefully. We are not careful to answer you. It's going to be a bull in a china shop answer. We're not careful. We're not scared of you. And here it is. And then he says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now, these next three words are key. Verse 18, it says, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, and we will not worship the gold image that you have set up." Now, that is the winning mindset, which I've entitled this sermon. That is the winning mindset. It's having an attitude like that. You see, the King James calls these guys in Daniel chapter 1, it calls them the children of Judah. You know what one word probably best described me as a child or a teenager? It's one word. You know what it was? reckless. Reckless. And that's what these three were. Reckless. Reckless abandon and faith and trust in Almighty God. Sometimes teenagers are restless, and sometimes we need to have the childlike faith like these guys had and be reckless and not worry about it. Those who love their life will lose it. This is what Jesus says. Every one of you that love your life will lose it. And those that hate your life, proverbially speaking, figuratively speaking, will keep it. Reckless abandon. That's what put Antipas into a bronze kettle. That's what led Polycarp, the first bishop of Smyrna, to freely let those of the synagogue of Satan tie him to a stake and try to burn him alive, only to have him speak those familiar words, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no harm. Then he said, bring forth what thou wilt. That is the winning mindset. That's what I'm trying to come up with today. What is this thing, and how do these Christians have it? And how can I get it? Right? I want what they have, don't you? I want to be able to walk into a bronze kettle and go like that. I've got a hard time with that. I want what they have. How do they get it? What do they have? How do they get it? How can I have it? Being out of their comfort zone is a way of life for these people. For these people, it's not a question of watching the Dolphin game or going to church. It's a question of, am I going to deny Jesus Christ this afternoon so my family can survive? That's the question. The winning mindset. God is in control. What can man do to me? Look again at these three. But if not, the Hebrew said, we still won't bow down. Can you be that cool? Okay, what is the winning mindset? The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude and a trust and a faith in God that he's bigger than your problems. A spiritual fortitude, a trust and a faith in God that he's bigger than your problems. And by the way, did you know that God is developing and producing this character trait on the inside of you right now? At least he's trying to, if you let him. And that's why God tells us to rejoice when it happens to us. Romans 5:3. Paul said, not only this, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh or brings about perseverance. Greek word, you've heard me many times say it. The word is hupomeno. Hupo means under. Mene means to abide. Same word Jesus used when he said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mene. Plural. King James called it mansions. It's abiding places. Some translations say dwellings. Hupomeno is to dwell under, abide under. Abide under what? The hand of God. The hand of God. Let's call it, now if you would please humor me. Let's personify this word. Hupomeno, perseverance. Some translations call it patience. Let's personify this word. Let's call it, if you would please, nerve. Perseverance. Oomph. A spiritual arrogance in a good way. It's like a spiritual byproduct of two things, which by themselves won't help you one bit. But once you mix them together, you've got spiritual nitroglycerin. Like hydrogen, by itself, it'll kill you. Right? You go to Saturn and try to breathe and see what happens to you. But you mix it with oxygen and you've got this. Same here. You take a little God-ordained tribulation like sickness, poverty, some personal trial in your life, or some great test of faith. And then you add a little abide under, what I had before but crossed it off, Paul Esposito ordained, abide under, which is what the word means, and you put it together. You put together these tests of God and abiding under his hand, add them together like H2O, and what do you got? You got John Wayne. Or you got Pilgrim. This is where Pilgrim comes from. It's an attitude, a spiritual arrogance, and a trust in God that is bigger than your problems. It's a spiritual thing. You can't see it. It gets developed on the inside of you by abiding under the hand of God as you go through trials in your life. This is what I'm talking about. I call it the God compound. The God compound. In attitude. But if not, these three said, in the burning fiery furnace, let it be known to you, O king, we don't serve your gods and we won't worship your gold image, which you have set up. The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude, a trust and a faith in God that he's bigger than your problems. One more. James 1, verse 2. Let me read it out of the NIV. It says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. All right, joy and trials. He's crazy, right? What kind of person would say that? Let's be real. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. How many people in here do that? Nobody does that I know of. I don't, and I'm no different, no better than any. Maybe I read my Bible a little longer than some of you, but I'm no different than anyone else. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. But then he says this, knowing that, meaning it's not for nothing. There's a purpose behind it. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces John Wayne. Just cross it off and put John Wayne in your Bible. Lord knows what I mean. Count it all joy, pure joy, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops John Wayne. This is John Wayne. This is the mother of all gavels. Sold, sold, sold. Sorry, that's a little Texas flipping move in me there. I just can't help it. Sold, sold, sold. This is where this comes from. How many here want to possess this? I love, too, the way the NIV says this. Now, I've mishmashed this verse. The key words in the NIV, I've called it, like pure. It says, consider it pure joy. It probably says, my brothers. Or now the new NIV would say, brothers and sisters. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, instead of produces, it has the word develops. And I love that word. It's being in God's dark room. Can you get the picture of the dark room, right? The testing of your faith develops. Put that stuff in there. God's got you in that stinky smelling stuff. Wait a little while, but don't turn the light on, you see. Because if you turn the light on, it's useless. It's marred, and it's got to be thrown out. You can't turn the light on in God's dark room. You got to abide under the hand of God. Can't turn the light on. Can't turn the light on. The testing of your faith develops. This thing that has you, well, we'll get to David And we'll see how it was exhibited in his life coming up. It's just like mixing two chemicals together, but spiritually. Trials come from God. And then, like we hear and read in the Bible, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Notice what develops fortitude. It doesn't say hitting the trifecta at Pocono Downs. Or finding Uncle Luigi's secret stash of $20 bills hidden in his mattress. Or smooth times of peace and joy, of prosperity and easy living. Does not produce endurance. It's the testing of your faith that produces it. The testing of your faith develops in you what these people had. Regardless of if Satan's doing it or if God does it. Because God can take both of them for your good. What Satan thinks, hello, look at the cross. What Satan thinks is for your bad, God will turn it into good. Like Job. Here is Satan thinking, you what? You just take this hedge away from him and he'll spit in your eye. So God said, all right, we'll try it your way. And what happened? He blessed them more than he ever had before. Even if Satan is the one that's doing the testing, God will turn it around for good because God is good. And God is for you. God is for you. Regardless. Understand these trials, again, they're creating an osmosis which will enable you to conquer the known world and take no prisoners. And God wants you to conquer, which is why he makes your life difficult. Next up, Psalm 56, verse 9. Let me read it to you. Here we got when and then and why. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. When, then, and why? Look at the attitude that this guy had. If there's anything I'm going to memorize from this, it's this verse today. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. This is a spiritual thing. You see, when you possess this kind of attitude, look out, world. There's no stopping you as a child of God. Once you get this kind of attitude, and it comes about through the fires of adversity, through something that has pain with it and suffering. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Now, the realization that God was for him was all that David needed. David goes on in verse 11. Psalm 56, verse 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Is that your attitude? It should be. This is the attitude that Antipas had to have, if I could speculate. Recklessness in his faith. Friends, you're not going into a bronze kettle without it. Don't kid yourself. But of King David's attitude, there's no need to speculate. Three things. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. And what can man do to me? God is no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you like he did for David. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you end up like Antipas. You don't always end up like Daniel coming out of the lion's den. But God is good, nevertheless. How's your mindset today? If you've got the winning mindset, again, like I said, look out, world. Romans 8:31, Paul says this, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's funny. That's what David just said 1,000 years earlier. God's faithfulness goes on and on. And let me say this, church. God is for you. The Bible says every hair in your head is numbered. God is for you. Everyone in this church. I personally know that God is for everyone in this church. The Bible says, okay, let's go on here. Paul goes on, Romans 8:33. Who? He sounds like an owl. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he that condemns? Who will separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we're killed all bloody day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Paul invented a word there too. There's no such word in the Greek language. Huper nikeo. Nikeo, where the word Nike comes from. More than conquerors. Super conquerors. Invents words like I do all the time. Through Christ, who loved us. This is the winning mindset. I encourage you all to be charter members of Overcomers Anonymous. There's no stopping the believer with a winning mindset. You and I are more than conquerors. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest conquerors who ever lived. And yet all of you that trust in God and realize, key word, realize that God is on your side. You realize God is for you. You realize no devil can harm your soul. You are more than conquerors. And this is the winning mindset. It's an air of arrogance displayed through submission and humility. Next up, Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Paul and Silas in jail for preaching Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. All right, let's look at their mindset now. What were they thinking as they were going through this? Verse 25. But at midnight, now remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So in the face of trouble, what did they do? Two things. Number one, they prayed. Number two, they sang songs. They sang hymns to God. Also notice that the others, the unbelievers, were watching too. Just like today, Satan's prisoners are watching you today to see what your response is going to be to all the world's troubles or to personal trouble in your life.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and